Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20. I'll read verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And then verse 31, our memory verse. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I'm looking for a brave soul to stand up and say the memory verse. Okay, let me start it then. John 20:31. But these are written. Yeah, say it with me. That's good. Say it with me. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let's say it again together. John 20:31. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But these are written. What is the these there at the beginning of the verse? But these are written. Verse 30 tells us, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So it's signs and wonders and miracles that we see there. That's what the verse 31, but the these are written. Some of these are written. We saw in John chapter 20, as you did your reading there on, I believe it was Monday, as you did your reading, you saw the miracles in John chapter 20. You saw where Mary went to the tomb. She got there, and the first thing she noticed was, tell me. The stone was rolled away, okay? She got there, the stone was gone. That was a miracle. That was something, wow, that shouldn't have been. She got there, she looked in, no body. Where's the body? She saw angels. These are things that actually happened that we have an eyewitness account that has written, and it's been written down with an eyewitness account, and we know these things. We know that the two disciples came up and saw the grave clothes laying there, saw the head napkin set off by itself. We see later in the passage, we see the disciples in closed room. We see all of a sudden the Lord is there, says to them, fear not, and speaks to them. Thomas not being there, didn't see him. Of course, Thomas said, not unless I touch the hands and touch the holes. From the nails and the spear will I believe. And then another time in John chapter 20, we see the Lord coming again into a closed room where the doors are closed, and he appears and speaks to them again. We have these recorded miracles here. And in the rest of the book of John, we have many recorded miracles. Not all the miracles are written. Verse 31, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's where, as you work on memorizing verses, understanding what it says right up front helps us memorize. The memory process, you may have different victorious ways of memorizing scripture. Repetition aids learning. It really does. Somebody in our class made these up. You can write your memory verse on it. What you'll do is, what I've done, I'll take a 3x5 card. Here's one. This must be today's, yes. I'll take a 3x5 card. I'll put the address at the top, the reference. I'll then write out the verse word for word. Word for word. put in every period, every comma, every punctuation mark, and then put the reference down there again. Flip the card over, and on the back, the first day that you do the verse, you'll write the date, and then you'll say the verse 25 times. I'll usually mark it every 5 times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so you'll see on the back of the card, you'll see 25 times on the first day. The second day, you'll do it 20 times. The third day, 15. The fourth day, 10. Then 5, then 1 time. Keeping track of the dates and how many times you did them each day. Then after that, you're going to track your verse. You're going to say your verse. For 45 days, you're going to say it one time a day. So this won't be the only verse that'll be in your pocket. There'll be others along with it. But you'll track it. 45 days, one time a day. And you'll have it. You will have that verse. In fact, you'll have it long before then. But really, by the time you get through that first set of 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, usually by that time you got a good handle on it. But then taking it every day and just reviewing it one time, or review it 5 times each day, whatever. But just one time for 45 days, you then are gonna see that you have it. Does anybody have the verse card on them that they did a verse with this week? Wave them at me. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you. So, and maybe you have a different way of memorizing, and you don't have to do it the way I say. Whatever's working for you, go ahead and use it. But if you think you can't memorize a verse, some folks say, oh, I can't memorize a verse. I challenge you. You do it this way, and then come up to me and tell me after 20 days, I just can't learn that verse. And obviously, that's not going to happen. You're going to see very successfully that as you repeat God's word over and over and over. And again, you'll just read it over. The first day, you'll read it 25 times. Just read through it 25 times. Read through it. And then again the second day, 20 times. Read 20 times. And you can mark it. And, Kelly? Okay. Somebody in class made these up for you. You're welcome to use them. On the back, it's got your number of times. You just cross them off as you go, so you know where you are with the memorization. So take that, do that, please. I think you'll find that it will be a success for you. Does anybody not have a book? Okay. I've got one book left. I'm going to order books on Monday, and they'll be here for next week. Shouldn't have said that, because now nobody will take the last book. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much. Make sure your names are in your books. If you haven't written your name in your book, would you please write your name in the book right now? So thank you very much. So that as they're sitting around, that we won't. Kelly, I'm supposed to be done by what time? 1:45. Okay. Is there any church secretary in this room by any chance? Ma'am, would you tell your husband I need books? Oh, thank you very much. I didn't see you up there. Get with pastor, see what he says. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do that. Thank you very much. So we'll have those books will be here by next week, right? Okay. Thank you very much. I think if you go through the book, in the books you'll see there's something there for every day of the week. Start right off on Monday and get right on it. That way the Lord starts speaking to your heart about that verse and about that passage, and then the next day and the next day. And then by Sunday when you get here and we actually go through the lesson, we'll go through what you have covered in your book. I think you'll find it'll be a real blessing. The Lord will speak to your heart. How is a Sunday school class successful? It's successful when we do our work at home and when we read our Bibles and we pray. And when we come to Sunday school class saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you have that I can serve you better with, that I can live for you with? Hide God's word in your heart. When times get hard, that'll be what keep your feet firm. Into our lesson. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 20, 31. In our lesson in front of you, we come to know the true God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 20, our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, bled, died for our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and came forth from the grave alive forevermore. He revealed himself as a resurrected Savior to his disciples. John chapter 20, let's read verse 24 through 31. John chapter 20, we'll read verse 24 through 31. You want to bring your Bibles to class because God's word is where we're going to find what we need. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus is the Christ. Following Christ and fishing for men is the name on the front of your booklet you'll see there. We talk about Jesus Christ. You say, we all know about Jesus Christ. We've known about Jesus Christ for a long time. We're not new Christians. Why are we, who is Jesus? Why are we asking that question now? There's an assault today on Jesus Christ. When you and I sit in front of our TVs, and we watch the History Channel, and we watch the Science Channel and stuff like that. There is an assault today on Christianity and against Jesus Christ. And you will see that there is a concerted effort to do away with Jesus Christ, or to minimize who Jesus Christ is, or some of the miracles that he did. And you'll see that, and sometimes you'll just be shocked when you hear it said. We watch, our kids watch, our grandkids watch Finding Nemo and all that stuff. And we have a good time with them watching those movies. And yet you'll hear and there where they're undermining Romans, Romans chapter 1, where it talks about that we see God in creation from the foundation of the world. We see him. And yet you'll hear him say comments like one infantile speck all in one. No, that's not the way it started out. It did not. Now, we watch those movies with our grandkids, and we enjoy them. But there's an assault there. There's an assault on our grandkids. There's an assault on our kids. There's an assault on our family. And that assault is to take Jesus Christ, take Christianity, and make it of none effect. Jesus Christ is, he is, as we see in our lesson today, he is, first of all, who he says he is. Let's read on in our lesson. The question of all of us must answer is found in Matthew 22:42. Matthew 22:42. Turn with me there if you would, please. I will be turning slowly. I don't have markers in my Bible, so you will have time to get there. I'm not going to get there way ahead of you. So you will have time to turn there. Matthew 22:42. Matthew 22:42. Saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. And he said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstools. If David then called him Lord, how is he then his son? Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, while at the same time, Jesus Christ is indeed God. What think ye of Christ is a question that we see today to us. What do we think of Christ? Who do we know him to be? Who do we know him as? Do we know him as a mighty Savior that has saved us from our sins? We have an awesome responsibility. A responsibility in three parts. First of all, to understand who Jesus Christ is. Is he indeed God? Yes, he is indeed God. Secondly, to proclaim him to others. Our responsibility is understand who he is, first of all. Secondly, to proclaim him to others. And then thirdly, to follow him. To follow him, his will, and his teachings. As we find directed here, written here for us, God's revelation about Jesus Christ to us. Our answer book, the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. This is it. This we have. Our responsibility, first of all, again, three things. Understanding who Christ is. He's the Savior of the world, and he needs to be our individual saviors. Then, secondly, proclaiming him to others. Proclaiming Christ to a lost and dying world. And thirdly, following him and obeying his word. His word as we read it, hopefully on January 1st, you did like a lot of people did, and they started a Bible reading schedule. I'm going to try it again. Maybe didn't make it last year. That's okay. Try it again. Start over. Pick up and go on. I'm using a website called Bible Gateway, and I just go onto the computer at work, and it's got a schedule right there, and they just read what's on the schedule. Have a Bible reading schedule. Read the Bible systematically. Read it chronologically. Read it the way we have it here, but read God's Word systematically. You'll find that it'll be a blessing. And you'll find it's so amazing at how the verses you read that day will fit so well into your life. It'll just be amazing. Different ways of reading. Some people read a proverb a day, depending on today's the 24th, right? Today's the 24th, I read Proverbs 24 today. So then if you don't have your schedule, you know which proverb to read. You probably heard pastor say that he and his wife have read through it, I don't know, 60, 70 times. Well, no, I guess it wouldn't be that many, but they read through it. I'm assuming they read through it every month because he said they've read through it quite a bit. Read your Psalms every day. On the first, read Psalms 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, and so on. And then on the second, just add 32 on each day and read through the Psalms. And there again, God's Word, it'd be so amazing how you look at it and it'll fit your life for the day. It'll be what you need for the day. God's Word. Through it, we understand who Jesus Christ is. We understand that we need to take Him to others through the Great Commission. And we understand that we ought to follow Him. We follow Him, why? Because we've been commanded to. We follow Him because Hebrews chapter 20, the one verse we looked at last week, because there's a great cloud of witnesses around us, and we affect others. And when we don't do right, we affect others. And the one verse, was it verse 12, where it says, "Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way." And we would never want to impact anyone else in a negative manner. We'd never want to turn anyone out of the way. We'd always want to be certainly be a blessing to them. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. By the way, if you have questions along the way, raise your hand, because I might misspeak myself, and what you misunderstand or what I didn't make clear to you, I might not have made clear to someone else either. So if you have a question about something I say or don't quite understand it, please ask. I got done last week and got home and looked through my notes, and I'd gone over about half of them and never even said them. But so if you have a question, please raise your hand. Feel free to ask questions. If I don't see your hand, just say, "Hey." Something like that. I'll probably hear it. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." As we consider this question of who Jesus is, our lesson today, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As we consider who Jesus is, we see here in our lesson that the Lord accepted what the Old Testament said about him. And the Old Testament had much to say about Christ. Some familiar passages we know, Isaiah, a lot in there. We hear a lot at Christmas time. There's a lot recorded in the Old Testament about it. In fact, Kelly, Isaiah 7:14. Would you look that up? Many verses we see tell us that indeed Jesus is the Christ, and it foretold his coming someday. Isaiah 7:14. Would you read that? That's okay. You'll get there. Excellent. One of many passages where Christ is foretold in the Old Testament. In your lesson, we see Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Turn with me in your scriptures if you would. Just something about the authority of reading it in the scripture. Isaiah 9 and chapter 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who Jesus Christ is, we see him foretold in the Old Testament. We see much foretold about him. The Lord Jesus himself accepted these titles about himself, either he is who he says he is, as you see here in your notes, or he's a liar and an impostor. But he's not a liar, is he? We know that personally, don't we? We know it from his word. We know that from our lives personally. We've seen him work personally. We have literally prayed a prayer, and by the time we got off our knees, the phone was ringing. The answer was there. Jesus is real. And you probably see tears in my eyes because we don't tend to pray. We don't tend to pray till we get up against it. And I'll say to my wife, we need to kneel down and we need to pray. And I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ have the telephone ringing, and my wife would have to probably tear the story because I don't remember what had happened, but we were praying for something. And the Lord answered, and the Lord will answer. He'll answer needs in your life. You got to pray. You got to give him a chance. Let your kids see you come up against it, and let your kids see you pray and ask the Lord for something specific. Not something general you don't know if it'll ever get. Something very specific. And let your kids see God work. And they'll grow up to love and serve him. Jesus Christ is a loving Savior. Jesus Christ affirmed, as you see in your notes, he affirmed in the New Testament that he is God. As we consider this question, who is Jesus? We see in the New Testament, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We see in verse 19, in our lesson, Jesus indeed stating that he is God, he is equal with God. In verse 19, we see, who's knocking? Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those things doeth the Son likewise." Jesus Christ is equal with God. We see verse 19 in the works. We see verse 20 in knowledge. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." He's equal with God in power, verse 21. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Jesus is equal with God in honor. Verses 22 and 23. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father." Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the very God. Foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus himself saying it in the New Testament. We find other examples in your reading there in front of you. We find other examples in John 8:58. I'm not going to turn to the rest of these because I've run out of time. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Remember, I am. Remember Moses in the burning bush. And he said, and then Moses said, and the Lord said, he's going to send them. And who shall I say sent me? Why would they listen to me? He said, you tell them that what? I am have sent you. I am. Jesus is the great I am. In John 10:30, the Lord said, I and my Father are one. Jesus is one with the Father. In John 19:7, the Jews were concluding their case for Christ to be put to death. And they said, by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Well, they almost got it, but they missed it. He didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He was indeed the Son of God. Then Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and we can know him. The scriptures teach us that Christ accepted what the Bible says about him in the Old Testament. If he affirmed it in the Gospels, then he is God. Where does this leave us? It leaves us with the wonderful truth that because Christ is who he says he is, we can know God. We can know God. In John 14:5 through 9, Christ declared to Philip, he is God. Dear ones, this is not just a good idea. This is absolutely the most important matter that you and I can understand who Jesus Christ is. We need to know that. We need to know that. We need to know it because we have a responsibility, a threefold responsibility. First, to somebody tell me. First, to understand. Second, to proclaim. And thirdly, to follow. We have a responsibility. For those around us, we have a responsibility. To Jesus Christ himself, we have a responsibility. Why? Because he's worthy. Why is he worthy? Because worthy is the lamb that was slain for you and I. He's worthy of our lives. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our praise. Let's take this week and let's honor him. Let's take our Sunday school books, do our lessons each day. Take your memory verse. And each day do it faithfully, and you'll find out how surprising you'll be. You'll be able to memorize that verse, and the Lord will let you use that in your workplace and in other places, and you'll think, yes, God's word is there, and it's reaching the mark that it needs to reach. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is mine and your Savior. Jesus Christ needs to be the Savior to the whole world. They're in darkness. We have to take the light to them. That's our job. Let's take it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you loved us before we were lovable. You died for us before we were born because you loved us, because you had a plan for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow you as we read your word, as we pray, as we hide your word deep down in our hearts. Might we follow you. Might others see Jesus Christ shining from our lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.